Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the Student of the Game. I am Kyle Nash, the Student of the Game, and we have a full house here in studio. First, local hero, Sumter County firefighter extraordinaire, Chris Rankin. What's going on, my man?
Yeah, it's going pretty good. How you doing?
I mean, look, we always have fun when you check in from the station. There's no question there, any way, shape, form, or fashion. But hey, always better to have you in studio than, you know, in a position where you could get called away for some natural phenomena, as has happened before, because lightning strikes in Florida, something
right.
like that.
Yep.
You know, I don't know. It sounds good. I love the whole local hero thing. It's better than the friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. I feel good about that. What can I say? And of course, the man, the personality here at the Student of the Game, Stephen Weasel Hurley. Weasel, Weasel.
Yeah, boy.
Oh, that's strong. Yeah, boy. There, I'm loving it. All about it. So I'm glad to see we had to come in at a high note so we could be in a position to pay tribute to the passing of Frank Gifford. Look, I don't know him as a player per se, but I have seen film of him as a player for the Giants in they call it the greatest game ever played. And at the time that may have been true, but the championship between his team and of course Unitas and the Colts, probably the most famous game he played in. I know that's where I saw film of him as a football player as well, but a lot of people know him as the one member of the premier team with Howard Cosell and Don Meredith doing Monday Night Football. So news of the passing there, thoughts and prayers to the family as well. So yeah, there's the quick Student of the Game tribute to Frank Gifford. Yeah, there you go. I also did work with Al Michaels eventually too. So anyways, with that, what better way to pay tribute than to move on to actually talk about football? Because football, I mean, for the first weekend, now look, oh, great, I didn't watch it. I was hanging out with my daughter. But for the first weekend of 2015, since the Super Bowl, actual football took place. Well, I mean, if you want to call it a Hall of Fame game, actual football. Vikings prevail 14-3. I don't know if any of you guys caught it, but is this an uplifting sign? I mean, it was your two teams, Weasel. I mean, if you didn't pay any attention, I don't know, but what are your takeaways right quick?
Well, with the Vikings, they did get to look at Bridgewater again.
Yes.
I went in, I believe it was about 5 or 6, about 55 yards, took the team downfield, but I think they went for it later on, but I don't think they got it. But he had a solid showing, and there is Stephon Diggs.
Stephon Diggs.
He's a rookie, and I believe like third, fourth, or somewhere around there. And my question is going to be about him and a player that played Cordarrelle Patterson.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's go ahead and let that cat out the bag because I know you're itching to get in there. Hey, look, all I can tell you is some of the footage we have on NGSC Sports YouTube page involves Stephon Diggs, and of course, this talented individual, Ms. Jamie Council. Look, folks, all I can tell you is this time last year, we had the cold front that focused on the NFC North when she spoke with Montel Hardy, and I remember I sent an email, do anything you can to get this talent into NGSC Sports, and okay, nothing came with that email, but she's here before us now. That's an epic win. I know I got all personal and misty on you, Jamie, but welcome aboard to the show.
Hey, it's good to be here.
Hey, for me too. I mean, you know, like I said, I was trying to scout this a year ago to make this happen. I have no idea you'd be on my show. This is money. So I'm just saying. But do you have anything for my man Weasel here? You did ask about Stephon Diggs.
I'll ask it. I got it.
Yeah, get it. Go.
Okay, so Stephon Diggs, he had a pretty impressive kicker. I believe it was a
punt return.
A punt return.
Oh, yeah.
And he brought it to like the 3-yard line. And the Vikings also have Cordarrelle Patterson, mm-hmm. who is the kickoff returning. Sometimes I think he would take the punts. But what I'm thinking is that with they got Mike Wallace, they got Charles Johnson, they got Jerry's right. And then for the 4 and 5 spots so far, I have Stephon Diggs and Cordarrelle Patterson. Is there any chance that 2 years ago, Cordarrelle Patterson, first-round pick. Vikings traded a couple picks to get him. Is there a possibility that you see if the Vikings will go Stephon Diggs over Cordarrelle Patterson, which would you say they would have a higher up?
Well, I mean, it's hard to say. I feel like they're going to try to
give Patterson his final shot. I mean, he is, you know, a third-year returner, and I feel like they have to give him his chance, but I feel Stephon Diggs is going to get his moment in the light. He's been playing really well. And another person you forgot to mention in that mix is Adam Thielen. Thielen had a pretty good night as well last night. So that's another guy that to keep an eye out for, undrafted. See, undrafted guy.
Are you writing
made it down the 53-man right roster last year. But as far as Diggs go, he's looking really good. You know, for a fifth-round pick, you kind of wonder if it's kind of a steal. You know, you see Patterson not really doing much, and they gave up so much to get him in the first round. So I feel like they're going to try to get their money's worth out of him. I saw him coming out of the backfield a few times, because while he hasn't really been showing, he is very athletic, and they are paying him, you know, a lot of money, gave up a lot of stuff for him. So right now they're just trying to milk anything they can out of him. But I can guarantee you that if any other team came and offered them a second round pick for them, they would definitely take that bargain.
Or perhaps even Cam Chancellor? Question mark.
That would be awesome. He's going to be losing some money if he continues his all out. But
yeah, we had to piggyback that, because we talked with Josh about that last week, and I got to tell you, I have to take a pop quiz of where Weasel got more excited. Is it the Cam Chancellor trade, or are you throwing down that camp knowledge? Because he went right for the pen for the paper. I didn't prompt him. He's like, oh, okay, there's a name. So already impact made. Booyah. So, you know, so walk us through a little bit, just so we can make sure that people know what they're going to see on the NGSC Sports YouTube page. What is it? Why should they go check that out? I mean, yeah, okay, so I did a voiceover too for you. That ain't it. What is it? You know, get the people excited about NGSC Sports and what you put up on the YouTube page there real quick.
Well, I was at Vikings camp for a few days last week and kind of got to see Diggs and got a chance to speak with him. So you hear it from the man himself, I guess, on his kind of on his mindset, I guess, going into the season, and really, you know, level-headed guy, and just kind of saying I'm out there to work hard. So you kind of get to hear from him, and then also get to see him returning it, like practicing that return, the same return you saw, which, you know, arguably could have been a touchdown, in practice, if that's what he was doing. So I mean, you kind of get to see what they were having him do at practice. And also a few pictures are on there of, you know, him beating Cheryl's and, you know, kind of proving his worth. And then just hear from him. So it's one thing for me to say, like, oh, he's been, you know, he's working on this, but then it's another thing. And then also I kind of like the athlete's demeanor, you know, how they carry themselves, how they speak. And so you get to hear it from the man himself. So that kind of was exciting to get to speak with him when I was down in Mankato.
Bingo. Stephon Diggs, one of several videos you see from Mankato with Jamie Council. But, okay, so we covered the North last week. It's time. It's time to get to the South. Because while Jamie Council may have been covering action in Mankato up North, she's a follower of the Indianapolis Colts, which, well, we'll get to that here in a minute. But whenever I deal with an analyst and a talent such as yourself, Jamie, that follows a particular team, I figure they should know thy enemy just as well. So I got you here to help us out with the entire South. That being said, we're going to start it off with the Jacksonville Jaguars. And I want to lead with this team because, you know, there's a lot of youth. There's a lot of, what's the word you like to use for they suck right now, but they could be really good in the future, Chris? Oh, right. Yeah. Potential.
Well, I don't say they'd be good in the future. I just say that.
They could
potential
be
means
good.
They suck.
But right now you suck. That's right. Well, the Jags have been in that state for years now. But I'm going to throw it to you first. Blake Bortles, really central to this whole equation, if you ask me. But when it comes to the Jag, what else you got?
Well, you know, they brought in a few players in the offseason. They brought in Julius Thomas, tight end, to help, you know, with that position there. They also brought in defensive lineman Jared Audrick from the Dolphins. Also to help, you know, beef up that defensive line that I thought was actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Last year, the front seven's pretty good.
They're trying to account for Chris Clemens on the pup, but, yeah, I think it's a temporary issue.
All right. And so with that, you know, they did bring in also some offensive line through the draft and everything to help with Bortles. Brought in another running back in the draft as well. So with that, with the Jags, you know, the AFC South plays the NFC South and the AFC East this year.
So, yeah, not exactly roaring competition. Record-wise, what you got?
Right. Well, their bonus games are Ravens and Chargers. I have them split in them, 1-1. Last year they were 3-13, 2-14. This year I got them going 6-10, 2-4 in division.
6-10. Okay, fair enough. Weasel, what you got?
Just noting that about the offensive line, if they want to have a quarterback that can play every week, they can't give up 71 sacks in a season. So that was the high in the NFL.
I was about to say, was he not the most sacked quarterback? Why, yes. Now, granted, it has something to do with the fact he's going against J.J. Watt twice a year. But, you know, this is a pro J.J. Watt house. I'm just saying.
They gave up 8 sacks against the Giants.
There's that. Well, yeah. Anyways, Weasel, record, what you got?
Well, and kind of stinks for him where they lost their number 3 overall pick of this year's draft. Defensive end Dante Fowler Jr.
Yes.
And he's out with a torn ACL. So that, I think that was like the first week of camp or something
first
like that.
Day of practice.
First practice.
Yeah,
it's terrible. But
a lot of firsts there. The first practice, the first big injury of the season, on and on down the line. But the number, my man, what you got?
4-12 and 1-5 in the division.
Indeed, not sharing in Chris's optimism. Jamie Council, the Jags. You got a thought on a record
there?
Well,
I feel like a big thing for them right now is that they started 0-6 for the second consecutive season, you know, under Coach Gus Bradley. So this is kind of his time to, he has to make a change, otherwise it could be the end for him. So, I mean, they spent $78 million guarantee for 6 free agents to make immediate impact. And, you know, if you think about it, Bortles was one of 7 rookies to start on offense last season. So they struggled to score all year, but, you know, they're bringing in Julius Thomas. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see, I guess, just how well the coaching comes together, because they're kind of starting from nowhere. And then they also lost Cecil Shorts, wide receiver, and a couple defensive ends. And then, of course, you know, another defensive end. So defensive end, they lost Red Bryant last year, now Dante Fowler Jr. So, you know, you're thinking that the 8 rookies that started, they have to be a little better, but definitely for the coaching staff, this is going to be a make-or-break year. They can't go 3-13 anymore. And so that's kind of something that you're wondering what they're going to do to ensure their jobs. So they're definitely going to be on the chopping block. But Bortles needs to get more comfortable in the pocket and also in the new coordinator, Greg Olsen's offense.
Bingo. You got a record for us in mind there? Jamie?
What?
You got a record for us in mind there?
Last year was 3-13.
Well, right, but I mean for the coming year. It's a prediction show. This is how
this
works.
Oh, this year, I'm going to give them somewhere between 5-11, and yeah, I would say 5-11, just because I don't know. I just haven't really seen a lot from them, to be honest.
Well, the humor in all of that is I think Weasel has sold his remote copying technology, because I too have the Jacksonville Jaguars at 5-11. I'm not the most optimistic in the group like Chris is, but I'm not quite as negative as Weasel. Look, I'm going to say this up front. Their first 6 or 7 games are all stacked in such a fashion where the tougher part of the schedule is in that part of it. They have the Patriots in that part of the schedule, for crap's sake. It's just not fair.
I got them going 0-4.
Okay. Still, I have them making it to 0-6 again. So, hey, if that's happening, I'm already predicting Gus Bradley being fired based on Jamie Council's take. And guess what? I think she's right. I'm going to throw that out there all the way around. A lot of this is going to be dependent on Bortles' performance. I don't think he's bad. I just don't think he's that good. 2-4 in the division as well. You were just about to ask me that, weren't you, Chris?
Yes, I was.
See, he was poised on the mic. Anyways. So, yeah, because this team invokes comedy and he is the personality of the group, Weasel, the Tennessee Titans, should we waste our time? I mean, seriously.
Well, all the talk is going to be about Marcus Mariota.
Oh, yes.
I'm already, from the Bucks. Winston is going to be, they already, I think it was weeks ago, they named him the starter. Right. And I'm not sure if y'all know, is Marcus Mariota the starter, or do y'all any, hear anything about that? Or?
It still seems kind of up in the air, but everyone's pretty sure he's going to start. Yeah, I mean, Mettenberger's there. No, I'll grant, there's less competition, not to give too much away, because we do have the Bucks coming up in the after the break. But let's just put it this way. Josh McCown, he gone, and Mike Glennon wasn't going to be a threat to start in Tampa anymore. It was an easier road than for Mariota, who has Whitehurst, and then, of course, most importantly, Zach Mettenberger in front of him. But, yes.
So I could see Mariota, I think he's going to struggle early, yeah. But he'll pick it up towards the end. But have them going 4-12 and 2-4 in the division.
Sideline reporters, beware if he's a starter. He's already had issues almost hitting one in camp. I'm just saying. Jamie. The Titans, do you have anything for us there?
Well, just within the past hour, I believe that they did sign cornerback Will Brown and waived Curtis Riley. So that's, you know, the most recent news on them. But with the Titans, I mean, for a team that went 2-14, they're so optimistic. I mean, Mariota has been, you know, quote unquote flawless throughout training camp, and you know he's going to kind of be the backbone for them, and they did lose just a couple offensive tackles and also lost a running back, Sean Green. Mm-hmm. But then if you look at what they've added, you know, Dick LeBeau is now in charge of defense, and, you know, Heisman Trophy winner, of course, Marcus Mariota is there. They've added Brian Urikpo at linebacker, and they've just added a lot of depth, I would say, a little bit everywhere. So, I mean, they're kind of built from anything, and I feel like they're going to be a team that's going to be very raw this year. If you look at just how many they added, but they're going to surprise. I feel like they're going to flash, but they're going to be a very high and low team. I mean, they've added Doriel Green Beckham at wide receiver, and then also David Cobb at running back. And those are players that I scouted a little bit, and they definitely have their flashes. And, you know, with Marcus Mariota back there, that, you know, the defense says that they weren't playing bad, that he just put it where they couldn't get it, you know, and that they've, their win last year, their debut season with big win in Kansas City last year was their lone highlight, you know.
Yeah.
And they cycled through three quarterbacks and played 7 offensive tackles and finishing with 10 straight losses for, you know, that was their worst record since 1994. So, you know, I feel like this is a very, a very bright spot and, in Titans history, and I'm excited for them. So I feel they'll still be very raw, just with so many changes. But they're a team that, you know, if they're feeling it, you better watch out.
Really? Okay. And let's see. There were 2-4, 2-14 last year. What would you say the number is going to be according to Jamie Council in 2015?
Oh man, I haven't watched Mariota to see how he goes with the rest. I feel like their offense is going to be better. Their defense is still, I don't know, they just are so bad everywhere. I'm still going, I don't know, 4 or 5. I'm going either 4-12 or 5-11.
Okay, well here's how I'm going to help you out, Jamie. The number you give me first is the one we're writing down. You said 4 first. We're going 4-12. How about that?
Okay.
I thought we could lend you a hand there. That's all. And you know what? I'll put it this way. This is why you're more of a professional than I am. No, not because you actually get paid for doing some of this, but considering the fact that you have that very optimistic analysis, even though you and I both know that they're so bad everywhere. I can't share in your optimism. You give them improvement. I'll give you that much credit. I see them still even regressing. 1-15 for your Tennessee Titans. 0-6 in the division. Chris, put a bow on it.
I'm laughing at you because I feel the same way. I got them going 1-15. Even though Dick LeBeau's there, their defense isn't geared towards his type of defense.
Not yet.
Right. Give him a year or two there as defense coordinator. You know, Marcus Mariota, even these starts, I don't think their offensive line is still bad anyway.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
Legit. So I have them going 1-5, though. I haven't beaten the Jags one game. That's the only win. So
There you go. I mean, hey, it's a good thing that we had Jamie here to bring some class to this breakdown, because you and I, we were just like, whatever. Do we have to talk about this team? Anyways, so thank you for classing up the joint just a little bit, Jamie. I'm just saying. So speaking of why it's going to be a good thing to have Jamie in the room, it's time to talk about the Texans. Yeah, that's right. I'm going first on this because J.J. Watt, okay? We've had the discussion. If you're a quarterback, I hope you've never seen Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street, or the Halloween movies. Why? Because if Jadeveon Clowney is healthy, you have all three of those horrors invading your dreams with J.J. Watt and then the world's fastest immovable object and Vince Wilfork in the middle. Oh, by the way, there's this Clowney guy who's really good, too. Gracious. And oh, by the way, a guy with Merciless in his last name is standing behind all of that and Brian Cushing at the middle linebacker. You're the fifth best guy up front, and your name is Merciless. I'm just trying to tell you. Yeah, sure. Great. Their offense sucks. Let's not mince words, okay? Arian Foster is not going to be playing for about 4 to 6 weeks, they say, after the surgery he had on Friday. DeAndre Hopkins, look, Chris, you were right on him years ago when he was drafted. He is a good receiver in this league. He can't carry this entire team. Even if he has CS3, Cecil Shorts the third helping him out, that just ain't enough in the air or on the ground. And their quarterback hope is Brian Hoyer, Tom Savage, and Ryan Mallett. Wow. I hope J.J. Watt can throw. They'll need him to score. I have the Texans going 4-2 in the division because it's weak, 8-8 overall. And that's just because that defense is that good, because you need to score the ball at some point. Jamie, the Texans, can you be any more optimistic than me? Because I just can't. I'll be honest.
Well, I mean, their defense is going to be pretty good, you know. Oh, yes. So, you know, they did lose Andre Johnson to, you know, the Vikings. I mean, the Colts. They did lose Andre Johnson. So, I mean, he is kind of going down, but he was still putting out. So that's going to be kind of a hurt to their offense. So. Mm-hmm. I know you're very optimistic on them, but, you know, you have to kind of look at it from an offense, that their defense, J.J. Watt, what can't he do?
Exactly.
You know, you saw that video that he was catching one-handed passes. You saw, you know, you've seen things everywhere. Just freak of nature. But, you know, they did go 9-7 last year, and J.J. Watt was, you know, NFL's Defensive Player of the Year for a second time, and possibly, you know, there's a lot of people could argue that he was the best player in the NFL.
Among those three people in the argument, the entire student of the game panel.
Make that. And then also, you know, with Clowney, you know, coming back from injuries and something, that's definitely going to, defense is definitely going to be the strength on it, you know, but I feel like they will rely heavily on how, you know, quarterback performs. So it's going to be kind of, I guess it's just going to be all on their offense, because, you know, their defense are going to be good.
Couldn't put it better. Okay. For the record, what do you got, Miss Council?
I think I'm going to go 97 again.
I cannot be called a fanboy. She just called out a better record than I did. Both y'all can stop right now. Hey, Weasel. You want to know why J.J. Watt is unconstitutional?
Why?
Because in the Constitution, it says all men are created equal. And J.J. Watt is proof otherwise. I said it.
Okay.
Am I reaching? Was that? At least it was funny.
It was all
right.
It worked.
Let me pat. Okay, Weasel. Texans, go.
I think that right now their quarterbacks is either Ryan Hoyer or Ryan Mallett. So,
right.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes. I really think that the Texans, I think they were sitting there last year's draft with the first pick in the second round. And I think they were wanting to pick Teddy Bridgewater. And so, kind of got average quarterbacks right there. And it'll be interesting to see Jadeveon Clowney. So, hopefully he can put in a season so that Wilfork and Watt, you'd have a pretty good core there. So, I'm going 10-6 and 4-2, mostly because of that defense.
More optimistic than me again, for the record. Chris, wrap it up.
Yeah, I got their bonus games are the Bengals and Chiefs this time around, so might be a little difficult to win. I think even both of those. I think it might game, the Bengals a win. I mean, they'll win against the Bengals, but I think they'll probably lose against the Chiefs because they open up week with Chiefs with quarterback issue.
Keep in mind, 2 years ago, they were 1 point away from beating the Chiefs with Case Keenum at quarterback. Right. I'm just saying.
So I got them also going 8-8, but 3-3 in division.
Well, if the Texans do play the Chiefs, I know that J.J. Watt will have a better chance to have a touchdown on offense than that receiver core. Boom. At any rate, so to the reason why we have Ms. Jamie Council here, the Indianapolis Colts. I mean, look, all I can say is that offense looks ridiculous, right?
Yeah,
it's absolutely ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous when you look at everything. And then also, you know, hearing Carter's been playing really good, that's awesome to hear. And then today, you know, I was keeping up. I wasn't at camp, but I was keeping up with it. And Andre Johnson and Andrew Luck have been having a lot of chemistry. And, you know, he's picked it over in his size. That's one thing the Colts haven't had, his size on in their wide receivers. So that's going to be just another depth for them. And so, yeah, the only thing that could, you know, hurt them, I guess, would be their offensive line getting injured. But as far as that on offense, they're going to be so hard to beat, you know, and there's no reason why they shouldn't lead the league in passing yards again this season.
You know, don't be shocked if that the overall passing yards go down because they're able to run a touch more balanced offense. It's not a sign that Luck is bad. Oh, no, it's a sign that offense is better, I would dare say.
Yeah, there's one player that misses, Frank Gore.
No,
yeah.
That's absolutely true, I guess. I mean, I really hope that they get the run game going because that's one reason why they couldn't really win games because they know, you know, it's going to go to Hilton or, you know, Moncrief is looking a lot better.
Oh, yeah.
That's really, really nice to see. In the red zone, Luck and Moncrief were, that's kind of his go-to when they were doing red zone plays. And it's definitely going to open up a lot more. So, more depth, you know, Frank Gore, he hasn't missed a single practice on Sunday. This is one thing that worries me. On Sunday, they had 18 players out. You know, a lot of those players had come back, you know, Carter was back and, the one that Vontae Davis is still out. I don't really know the degree of his injury or if it's more precautionary. And then Robinson was out, but he's back, you know, and he's a rookie behind Frank Gore. But Frank Gore has not missed a single practice. So I'm really excited to see him, not only his leadership, but then he's just excited to show that he's still got it.
For the record, as the Niner follower on this panel, I expect a Christmas card this year. I'm just saying. Anyways. Oh, gracious. Okay, so for the Colts, what do you foresee for your horseshoe heroes?
Oh, you know me. I'm thinking all the way to the Super Bowl. I mean, I don't want to say it because, you know, knock on wood, but I'm not saying it, but I'm saying it.
Okay, so on their way to being... hopefully, possibly, but not really, but actually so, Super Bowl bound. What's a win-loss record you see for 2015?
You know, I see them losing a few, so I'm going to say three losses and make it to Super Bowl. That's what I'm going to call.
13-3.
Three or four and make it all the way to Super Bowl.
Okay, well, your first answer was three, so we're putting you down for 13-3. That we keep consistent with the rules here on this show, Jamie, just so you know. Okay. We did this with Josh, so we're not picking on you. It's not like
it's okay. I appreciate it. I'm just thinking too hard here.
Well, we did the same thing with Montel too. So the entire Draft Central crew was not given any quarter. We took your first answer. I'm just saying. And you know, I'll put it this way. I'm not as optimistic as 13-3. Heck, I think they're going to go undefeated in the division. I think they're going to go 12-4. I can't say Super Bowl bound. I just don't like them enough on defense yet. And at the end of the day, that's the difference between who makes it to the Super Bowl and wins the Super Bowl. Yeah, it's cute that pretty boy Brady was handed the Super Bowl thanks to Pete Carroll not running Marshawn Lynch on the goal line. But he doesn't even make it there. Why? Without the world's fastest movable object, Vince Wilfork, and the best cornerback duo the Patriots had in over a decade in Revis and Maxwell. Or excuse me, Revis and Browner. I almost messed that up. Yeah. At any rate, I just don't think the Colts have enough defense for the Super Bowl, but I think they will dominate the AFC South on their way to the playoffs, and who knows, perhaps even a repeat appearance in Conference Championship Sunday. But see, I don't have to be held to that. I have until the Monday before the season starts, according to the student of the game rules. I'm just saying. Chris, Colts.
Yeah, I. You know, they have a tough bonus game. They got the Steelers, Broncos this year. So I really think week one they play at the Bills. I think they might lose that game because of LeSean McCoy with Rex Ryan. He's just going to pound the ball, and you know the Colts cannot stop the run. They still didn't do enough on defense to stop the run.
Interesting.
And I think they're going to play keep away from the Colts offense, and they're just going to run with LeSean McCoy. So I think they're going to lose that game. They're going to lose against Steelers. Same thing with Le'Veon Bell.
Sure.
They're just going to – Le'Veon Bell's going to be like 80% of the offense that game. So I got them going 13-3 still, though, and 6-0 in the division.
So they're going to lose to those teams, but they'll still win 13 games.
Right.
Hey, Jamie, it sounded like you were about to say something. Go ahead and get that in there.
Oh, no. I think I was just going to say about the defense, though, is that they're so hot and cold.
Yes.
That I'm definitely on the, you know, like you said, you're very optimistic about the Texans. I'm very optimistic about the Colts defense. You know, they have defensive line depth this year, which is something that they really haven't had. But the thing is how well are they going to, you know, look once they're together? And then also, Jaleel Brown, he had 5 camp interceptions, you know, cornerback. And, you know, they're adding more depth. The players are starting to show up, but... You know, I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt that that's going to stay there and they're going to be healthy. So it's kind of tough to ask me, but I'm definitely being more optimistic on their defense.
Hey, you know, the thing I'm curious to see Trent Cole in that lineup as well. A staple for the Eagles for an extended period of time. Kind of pulling similar to a Frank Gore and showing people he's still got it. Weasel, Colts, put a bow on it, my brother.
Well, the Colts, they did add some people on defense, like Trent Cole at linebacker.
Boom.
Robert Mathis is back. And then
still on the pup, but yeah, I don't know what the situation
is. I think he's going to be back. And okay. Kendall Langford. And I think they also have what's said to be the second easiest schedule in the NFL. So I have them going 12-4 and 5-1.
Second easiest schedule despite having the Broncos and the Steelers.
Right.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
No, I'm not.
I checked that somewhere.
I'm not knocking you.
I would say it'd be the fourth easiest because you get the other three teams in the AFC South.
Are we splitting hairs at this point? I mean, they do have the Kardashian sisters of the NFL in the form of the NFC South, but I digress. I don't know.
Well, I guess it's based on how well your team is versus your schedule, I guess. I think the Titans schedule would be the easiest then. But then it is the Titans, so it's probably pretty bad.
Weasel, wrap it up, bro.
I got them. It's 12-4 and 5-1 in the division.
12-4, 5-1. Okay, he didn't copy me. I said 6-0. What do I know? Who do you have them losing to in the division? I'm curious.
I would say they split the Texans and that's it.
Because JJ Watt. Or not. I don't know. Maybe it's because Vince Wilfork. That's okay. But probably because J.J. Watt. Anyways. So with that, that wraps us up. The good news I can give you, Ms. Council, is that unanimously, the Student of the Game panel, along with yourself, has the Colts pretty decisively winning the AFC South. So barring an alien abduction of Andrew Luck, I think the playoffs are pretty much a lock for your crew there. So that's the good news.
Yeah, and then one other thing on Robert Mathis, that the latest reports are that he's out till early October or late September, is what Irsay said a couple days ago, I believe last Thursday that came out. So he's still struggling, and, you know, that's one more thing, but it also gives, you know, like, the 6th-round Amaro Herrera is taking first-team reps. You know, he's an inside linebacker, and then with the addition of Cole. So they're definitely getting more players in there, which is another knock on it. But you know what? He'll be back.
Yeah, I mean, hey, look, 10 games of Robert Mathis is better than none. I got no beef with that whatsoever. I mean, October, cool. I mean, you know, just as long as he's there in the playoffs for them, I think they'll be all right. I know how excited he gets, for example, to be able to hit Peyton Manning because he wasn't able to do it for a long time in his career. I'm just throwing that out there too. So that may be the good. So the good news is we see Jimmy Council's Colts doing a good job, but unfortunately, this ends our time with the talented, the awesome Jimmy Council. Miss Council, let the people know where they can find you.
Well, of course, all the work is on ndscsports.com, and under the NFL tab, we actually just redid that page. I made the Photoshop footballs. Yeah, it looks great, right? And then also on the main page, there's the YouTube videos and NDSC Sports YouTube. All the videos are up there. And then I also post all my work and then also other little tidbits, I guess, on my Twitter page. And my handle is JamieAnn_13.
Bingo. Seriously, check out that YouTube page. It's some money stuff. No, I'm not saying that because of Sports Symposium. That's awesome, too. But Jamie Council in Mankato was a good time. Can't stress it enough. Weasel's going to watch it tomorrow or when he gets a chance. I believe that.
Word.
So in that case, Jamie, thanks so much for having you or being on the show. Having you on. No, you didn't have yourself on the show. Thanks so much for being
on. Anytime. You guys are a lot of fun to BS with, even though, you know, not always optimistic about the Colts. But you know what? I will agree that Watt isn't human.
Well, you look, hey, Chris gave you 13-3, right? I mean, you know, Weasel just has a thing for copying my answer. No, you didn't. You didn't copy me. You had a different division.
I originally had him at 14-2, and I'm like, I don't
okay.
think I can do that.
See, so. You talked Chris out of optimism. What do you think of that?
You know what? The more optimism, the better. As long as they can hold up, like I said, I'm not saying it, but I'm saying it.
I don't know. Fair enough. Hey, that's okay, because here on the Student of the Game, you have until the first Monday before the season, which this year is what, the third?
No, it's the 7th.
7th, because it's the 10th, right. So you have until September 7th if something goes really wrong, or if you're feeling optimistic, just tweet at us. I'm at the SOTG. We'll get that all handled so everybody here knows you changed your mind. It's perfect.
Okay, sound good.
All right, cool. All right, well, thanks, Jamie. We'll see you next time.
See you next time.
So, Jamie Council. So, there you go. Good times all the way around, gentlemen. So, I'll pop quiz you both on this real quick. I already stayed in my position on the Colts in the Super Bowl as of August 10th, because that's when we should be talking about football in February, is August 10th. But Colts in the Super Bowl. You feeling that?
I can see it.
You can see it?
I can see it, definitely.
Okay.
All right, with the offense, yeah, you can see. I mean, they got until week 8 for free agents and trades and everything. See who
That's
else
true.
And how their defense is doing.
That's true.
I do like their corners. That they have on the team, but just
the corners have never been the problem. I mean, look, what was it? 8 touchdowns running they've given up in the in 2 playoff games against the Patriots.
Right. So that's the whole thing. And I mean, with adding Trent Cole, that kind of helps. So
every panelist has mentioned Trent Cole. Boom.
Right. That's why I throw it out there. Oh, yeah, Trent Cole. That's right.
The only thing we're missing this week, actually, we're not missing inside sources. It's just Jamie actually referred to them by name instead of calling them inside sources. Players count as inside sources, right?
Yep.
I don't know. Anyways, we'll be back in a bit after the break here to talk about the NFC South, a.k.a. the Cardassian sisters of the NFL. Hang out. And we'll be right back with you in just a bit. You're listening to The Student of the Game on NGSC Sports. You're listening to NGSC Sports Radio. Hear us live on NGSCSports.com, where you can get awesome analysis for all things sport. Or check out our podcasts on iHeartRadio, Spreaker, iTunes, TuneIn, and much more. For our latest videos, head to NGSC Sports YouTube channel. Follow us on Twitter at NGSC Sports and like us on Facebook. NGSC Sports. We never stop. You know, if anybody has a problem with us rejoining with Journey, the problem is you. Know it, okay? Actually, you know, here's the thing about running the board sometimes. I totally meant to hit Monster by Skillet, and I hit play instead of the actual song, and then it came up Wheel of the Sky. So I just rolled with it. I was thinking of you, though, Chris. At any rate, so it would be more appropriate to play Monster because of the scary football that you saw out of the NFC South. And I don't mean scary as in scary good. I mean like, oh my gosh, pitiful, awful. So the quest for improvement be thy name when it comes to this crew, the NFC South. Boom. So I believe it was this offseason we talked about two quarterbacks getting their money. Russell Wilson and, of course, Cam Newton. You know, something I find interesting in the conversation with Cam versus Russell Wilson is nobody's really talking about the fact that Cam got paid the crazy money, but I guess that's because he doesn't have as many big names on his squad as Russell Wilson does in Seattle. I mean, is that what it is, guys? Help me out.
They didn't. They are going to have a decent wide receiver core. So
that's true.
The two of them, they're talking about the on both sides. The guys are like a very tall and very athletic. Kelvin Benjamin, and then you have rookie Devin Funchess.
Boom.
So people are wondering if that's going to make them. Would that bring them to elite? And it just matters how much of an impact they make.
Well, I would add this aspect as well. As younger wide receivers, they're not getting paid yet in the crazy money bracket. So that's a factor as well. Good call, Weasel. I dig that. Because youth. Hey, you got to know how to draft in this league. Boom. So, and in other news, by the way, Cam gets paid, and now we're in training camp, and Cam gets into a fight. Look, the long and the short on that, Cam throws a pick. The cornerback, Josh Norman's running it back. Cam, you know, isn't going to actually tackle him. According to the sources, he's not actually really trying to make a tackle. He's just trying to be in the area because, you know, if he actually throws a pick, he's actually going to make a tackle. And this corner stiffs arm him, and a scrum ensues. Your take on this sort of on Cam's response and mixing it up with him, Chris, if you have anything on the outside looking in.
Yeah, I didn't really like the video of it because, I mean, it's... they make stories out of it.
Well, and the video doesn't really show you anything. It's just a bunch of bodies gathered around. I mean, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you can see him. He probably was, when he stepped on, talked trash about him, too. So, I mean, that probably really added to it.
When the whole thing was over, Cam was quoted as saying, hit me like that again and you'll know something. I mean, it just that sounds like something that a 6'5" quarterback who's wearing a red jersey, doesn't expect to be getting hit and then gets hit, would say. You know. So, I don't know. I'll put it this way. The reaction I see is something along the lines of, you know, oh, would they ever do that to Brady? Or no, they would say Tom Brady or Peyton Manning wouldn't have reacted that way. No one would hit Tom Brady or Peyton Manning.
And also, they threw a pick in practice. They wouldn't go run them down either.
Correct.
So
that's a good point, too. So I don't know.
So if you're going to go run down after the corner, you know, even though you're not going to tackle him, they're going to stiff arm him anyway because he's going to try to make sure he doesn't get tackled.
I don't know. I'm kind of with Cam in this one. I mean, the dude's wearing a red jersey for a reason, and some dumbass defender, you know, disregards it again. I mean, you know, it's the kind of thing I would expect a corner to do. A linebacker wouldn't do that. I just have this feeling. Yeah, linebackers know to be more violent and stuff like that, but they also know the rules a little bit better when it comes to violence. I don't know. You don't have to agree with me. That's just where I live. Weasel, you got anything to add? You all set?
Well, usually when there's a fight between teammates, a lot of times there's brothers fight everyone gets charged up but in the next day, I think there's a recent fight. But essentially,
oh, yeah,
they're going to...
Dez Bryant.
Yeah, Dez Bryant. It's then like a non-issue later on. But if they're going to talk trash to each other, I mean, they just got to, you know, bring their game. And when this regular season starts, both of them got to show up and they don't have to worry about each other so much.
You know, and that's the good thing about preseason games coming up is you get to hit somebody who you're supposed to hit, right? I mean, you're facing these guys day after day. Granted, you're not doing two-a-days or as many padded practice and stuff. But, you know, after a while, you know, you get sick of seeing the same guys and all this other stuff. The preseason starting soon, I think, alleviates all this sort of thing. And, yeah, so there you go. So, yeah, the Panthers made it to the playoffs with a 7-8-1 record. Yeah, I'm not impressed with the NFC South as I've kind of tiptoed around. But for my money, the Panthers haven't done really anything to improve themselves. Yeah, they locked up Cam Newton. Okay, great. But has anybody seen any additions there that they're hyped up about? Anybody?
Just the other receiver, Funchess.
Okay, so a draftee. Okay, perfect. Yeah, look, Greg Olsen isn't getting any younger. I love me some Kelvin Benjamin. Don't get it twisted. But that running back core isn't as good as it was. D'Angelo Williams might be 105 years old, but
he's out.
But he's with the Steelers now, right. Matter of fact. I'm not impressed by this Panthers team. I see them taking a step back. 5-11, 2-4 in the division. Weasel Weez!
I'll bring it down to I go at 9-7 and 4-2 in the division. Because on Saints and the Bucks and stuff, those are some games right there that they could take. So
winnable opportunities. See, so you brought it up, actually. You're feeling better about it. Okay. I can't front on that. I mean, a lot of this division is weaker teams playing each other. So I can't front on that. Chris, Panthers.
Yeah, I have mirrored with Weasel 9-7, 4-2. I got them going a little better just because, you know, with the addition of the other receiver there. Defense, yeah, they lost Greg Hardy, but really he was out last year too. So, I mean, they didn't lose anyone on the defense either. The defense is pretty decent. So, with them playing the AFC South and the NFC East, I'll get them 9-7.
I mean, they've lost pieces on defense. Well, a piece in Greg Hardy on defense. The Texans could beat them, I feel like. I don't know. The NFC East, I feel like, is a group that's getting better. But the Panthers aren't a rollover team either. I always seem to underestimate them just a little bit. So you putting them at 9-7 versus my 5-11. Who knows? Maybe the answer's in the middle at 7-9. Anyways, the Bucks. Weasel, what you got, bud?
Well, good old quarterback Jameis Winston. weeks ago named the starter for him. I think you can maybe cause some damage because having wide receivers like Mike Evans and you got Vincent Jackson, I think they would they're going to improve a little bit. I believe it's only going to be 4-12 and 3-3 in the division.
4-12, 3-3 in the division, and you know what? I would call you optimistic. I have 2-14, 2-4 in the division because so much of it rests on Jameis Winston. Look, I look at this group, and I'm like, they're even better than I think they are on paper, and realize they're a quarterback away. No, it's not Jameis Winston's fault, per se, but I don't think he's the kind of rookie quarterback that's going to bring this team to the promised land. I love their defense. I really like their offense. I just don't like their situation. And oh, by the way, Lovie Smith has already proven to us what he can do with developing quarterbacks. Not really. Mike Glennon, Josh Freeman's career shot. Josh McCown, yeah, no thanks. Yeah, Lovie Smith should have been gone already. We've had this discussion, and the Bucks will fail one more time to assure that it happens. Maybe they won't be 2-14 like I'm saying, but they will be bad. Chris.
Yeah, last year they were 2-14, 0-6 in division. I got them going 3-13. I'll have them win one game the first week. it's going to be Winston first, Mariota, and I think Winston will shine them on that one. Week
I think
one.
I have that one too.
So that'll give a little confidence booster, except they'll lose the next four going into the bye. They'll be 0-6 still, like they were last year in the division.
See, and people think I'm mean. I at least had them 2-4 in the division.
But you have 2-14, so you had them only winning their division.
Details!
And they play against the Bears.
And the Bears get their revenge. Actually, wait, the Bears won last year too. Well, damn it. Then the Bears assert their dominance, question mark? Where's Montel Hardy when I need him? Anyways, next up on the list, the Atlanta Falcons. Chris.
Last year, the Falcons were 6-10, 5-1 in the division. They actually had the best division record out of the three teams.
scary enough.
Their bonus games are Vikings Niners this year,
which both can go either way because the Niners are on the decline and the Vikings are on the uptick. I think the Vikings actually have a better chance to win.
Yeah, I actually got them losing to the Vikings this year.
Yeah, so I can't blame you.
I have them going. That last year was 6-10. I got them going 8-8, 4-2 in division.
Fair enough. Where's the worries?
I think keeping quarterback Matt Ryan healthy is going to be but most important. And defense, they did get some help. You got defensive end Adrian Claiborne, Brooks Reed, and Vic Beasley. And so I have them going 9-7, 4-2.
9-7 for the Falcons. Apparently, I'm dyslexic. I have them at 7-9. I tried to copy your paper weasel. I just screwed it up. I don't have the optimism that you do in their defense. I actually have it written right here. Not enough defense for my taste. Look, we know their receivers are great. I like what they're doing in the running back core. But overall, they don't have enough defense in a schedule and an offense. Or excuse me, a schedule and a division who's off. Everybody seems to be improving on offense except for them. Yeah, that's the best way I'm going to put it. 7-9, Atlanta Falcons. Which leads me to the New Orleans Saints. Now,
what do you have for their division?
Oh, excuse me. I have that at 3-3. Beg your pardon. Thank you, Chris. So, yeah, 3-3 in the division. The Saints, I got to tell you guys. And people have called me nuts for doing this, but that's because they hate trench warfare, specifically the O-line. I loved that they picked up Max Unger for a declining Jimmy Graham. And what was it, a first-round pick, Weasel?
They got Unger and, I believe, a first-round pick.
That's right.
For Jimmy Graham.
See, I go to you because you've corrected me on that every time to bring in the first-round pick because I always forget it. But, yeah, dude, you have a center to that line like you don't have ever before that I could remember. Sure, Jimmy Graham's a loss. Yeah, they got Marquise Colston on the pup. I think he'll be back to make some noise this season. They also still have a pretty good receiver core featuring Brandon Cooks, who'll be back from injury, but is a solid guy. And that running core, lots of people to handle the rock. I dig it. Like a shovel there when it comes to that. They're going to be... Look, Drew Brees' numbers are going to go down. I'll tell you right now, Drew Brees is not a draftable quarterback in the first three rounds for your fantasy team. Bing! I want points for that, guys. I'm just saying. But overall, the Saints as a balanced football team will help their now improving defense, which has Danelle Ellerbe, which has Cam Jordan, which has a lot of improvement made to it.
Browner.
And Brandon Browner. Thank you, Chris. How could I forget that? Their corners are even better. I got the Saints at 10-6, 5-1 in the division, and they have Marquise Colston and Jarius Byrd currently on the pup. Boom. What? Leave me alone, in-laws. Weasel, what do you got?
Huh? I don't know how the departure with Jimmy Graham and Kenny Stills would be, but I think Breeze is the kind of player, like, it'll be similar to, like, Brady and Manning, where he can make, average players, look more elite. So, I don't know if he's going to miss them, but I do have them going flipped 6-10 and 3-3 in the division.
Ouch. My in-laws are going to hate you. I'm glad you're optimistic with the Bears so you could be happier at home. Hey, I'll give you – here's the analogy that I would give, which, hey, look, I'm not knocking your outlook. There's going to be a lot of games they play that are close. But I would say that Breeze and this Saints team are a lot like Favre, or a poor man's Favre with Adrian Peterson when they made it to the NFC Championship game. Makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it makes sense. You're just wrong, Cam. Chris, go ahead.
Yeah, I think their schedule is packed up at the front end right there. Mm-hmm. So I think some Saints fans are going to start panicking with their team drops.
As they do.
To like one in five or something like that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if you look at their back end of their schedule, all the games are basically winnable. I got them winning 8 out of the last 9 games on their schedule here. So I got them going still 9-7, though, because I got them going 1-6 before that.
So you're going to wait 8 of your last 9 games, which means you really suck to open the season.
Right. So I got them going 9-7, 4-2 in the division.
And not that I should talk. Apparently, I have them winning only 2 games in the first part of the season.
I mean, they have. I mean, you have the Colts, the Falcons, because they could lose that game.
Yeah.
The Eagles could go either way.
Yeah.
The Cowboys, the Panthers could go either way.
I think the Cowboys
Bucks will win that one, and they play against the Cardinals in Week 1.
Yeah, I mean, look, defense. The Cardinals game is rough. I'll agree with that. I think they're going to get killed in the Cowboys game, even though, you know, their running game situation is iffy, which, by the way, is more talk I hear. His weasel theory might come true. They might work out, Ray Rice, for all we know. But, still, I mean, I think they're going to beat the Eagles. Not for nothing. You know, call me crazy, but I don't know. I've said crazier stuff on this show. Anyways. So, I have the Saints winning that division, but apparently I'm the only one. Gentlemen, who do you guys have winning the NFC South and being Khloe, the oldest Kardashian sister? And if it's not really her, leave me alone. I don't watch that show.
I think Panthers, they're going to be tied with the Falcons, but I think head-to-head, I think the Panthers will get it. So,
oh wow!
And yeah. Falcons, they'll be out of the playoff. They won't make it.
Which is a bold prediction because I don't think we've had a repeat in the NFC South since the year 2000. No, actually, I think the Panthers just did repeat.
Yep.
They're going to three-peat. It'll be the first three-peat in the NFC South. Oh, snap. That's bold stuff, Weasel. Chris.
Yeah, I have the Panthers and the Saints. Both with the same record, same division record, like Weasel had with the Panthers.
Are you
going
to go three-peat on me right now?
No. yeah, it's going to be because it's going to go back down the strength of schedule or against opponent wins because you're going to have to go three deep on this since they're going to be 4-2 in division just like
so
the other two.
Overall's tied.
Overall's tied. Division's tied.
Head-to-head is tied
right.
Because they're 1-1.
Yep.
Strength of schedule. Damn.
Yeah. So the Panthers will probably have the strength of the schedule since they got the Seahawks and the Packers as their bonus games.
Yeah, that would be a thing.
And the Saints have the Cardinals and Lions. So, I mean, it's still not bad. Both, I mean, it could be. So
actually, it may come down to conference record in that case, which you'd have to do some more research to knock that down. Based on what I'm hearing you say, you think that
they have the same conference record, too.
Get out!
it's gonna be a coin toss.
Jeez. I mean, well, actually, you have them both winning 9 games?
I have them both 9-7, both of them 4-2, and both losing.
Can you bump them both up to having 10 wins so they can both make the playoffs? Oh, that's interesting. Okay, well, the Kardashian sisters of the NFC, according to Chris, will not have a 10-win team. And actually, did you have a 10-win team?
No, he didn't. He had 9-7 nope. Also.
Damn. Maybe, and I'm optimistic because I got one of them that breaks through a 10-6.
Whew.
Suddenly, I just got really worried. I don't know. Anyways, so as fun as talking schmack on the shelf is here on the Student of the Game, that will bring us to a close. Of course, you can always catch us on Twitter. You can catch my man, Weasel Weez.
Yeah, boy.
Weasel the SOTG on Twitter. Of course, the local hero, Chris Rankin, at Hydraulic Upright, UPRITE. Been a little bit more active on Twitter, I'm noticing. There you go.
Yeah, all right. A little bit.
You know, hey, look, it's fun stuff, people. You know, people say silly stuff like, oh, Russell Wilson's the best quarterback ever. Look, you got to weigh in, I'm just saying. And of course, you can find me on Twitter. I am Kyle Nash, at the SOTG. Always check out the website, ngscsports.com, www.ngscsports.com. And, of course, the NGSC Sports YouTube page. I cannot stress enough. If you think the Sports Symposium is stupid, well, that's a you problem. But you need to check out Jamie Council from Mankato. Even if you don't like the Vikings, definitely a good look at Stephon Diggs and some of the other quality players from that squad. Good for any football fan all the way around. And check me out on it'll be a show on the Happy Hour Network with, of course, a friend of the show, Ernest Christian, on Earnestly Speaking. Of course, you can hear EJ through ngscsports.com on our Spreaker player as well. I will be co-hosting with him on Thursday, I think, is the release of that. So, because football, people, you need another reason? I'm just saying. Anyways, until next time, everybody, class. dismissed.